Today we'll surround the book of 2 Kings and we will be examining many verses in the text, but the lesson, of course, the aspect of discussion we want to undertake, I title it Making the Difference. Making the Difference. When the passage was read just now, what struck me was what happened is a passage most of us are well acquainted with. And the lesson today is one in the series of many lessons that will look at our evangelistic responsibility, both collectively and individually. It's a passage for many months, it being one of the consideration in sharing a lesson to enlighten, to motivate, to challenge us. But because I was focused mostly and how God used an individual, when the brother read the passage just now, it was on how the Almighty God used Naaman, watch here now, to bring victory to Syria. Syria was a Gentile nation. They were not God's people. From all the teachings in the Old Testament and even the New Testament, that Israel was God's people, that one nation chosen by God. Yet at various times, the Almighty God had reason to use a Gentile nation. And listen to the passage again. Let us have verse 1 of the book of 2 Kings.
Now
Naaman,
captain of the host of the king of Syria.
Captain, he was the warlord of the host.
Was a great man with his master.
He was a great man with his master.
And a honorable.
He was honorable.
Because by him the
and
Lord.
The reason is.
Because by him.
The reason why he was so great in Syria and in the eyes of the king is that when Naaman go out to win victory for Syria, even against Israel, the Almighty God gave Syria victory through Naaman. That is a lesson by itself. Because in that we would get to understand the working of God better. Yes. But today, I titled today's lesson, Making the Difference. The Almighty God, through Jesus Christ,
And his people has work to be accomplished now in this life. Among the people that you and I meet daily, God has a job to be done. That work is not committed to angels. I repeat, the work which the Almighty God has now to be done in every community in Jamaica, in Kingston, it was not committed to angels, but to the true followers of Jesus Christ. In every age, at every step in history, the Almighty God has always looked for and found men and women whom he could use. Always, at every age, the Almighty God was always in search for men and women who could do the work on earth that angels were not designed to do. Work which must be done by flesh and blood. God has always been looking for men and women. Men and women who made the difference for God. Men and women who made the difference in God's business, in God's work. May I? If you consider yourself a child of God, I say this, and of course it does not stop with what we consider ourselves as. The bottom line is how God sees us. When you and I are convinced that we are true children of God, God's estimate is what determines what we really are. But if you are a child of God or think you are, don't ever underestimate what the Almighty God can use you to accomplish for himself. I need to repeat that. If you consider yourself a child of God, and if you are sure that you have made yourself available in God's hand, if you are sure that you are putting in all the preparation that God wants so that he can use you, don't ever underestimate what God can use you to accomplish. Please, don't ever put a low premium on God's power and your potential in God's hand. The Almighty God, for some reason or the other, you ask me, I could guess, and I could probably go to the text and pick out some things, but I'm not too sure why. But for some reason or the other, twice now, we are glad. You know, you were in the hospital. So may I get back on the lesson? As I've said, that for some reason or the other, and I acknowledge I do not know all the reason, the Almighty God wanted to get it is what this lesson is about. God wanted the Syrian to know him at least a little better. He wanted them to know what the true God is all about. This was about 850 to 800 BC, the time of Elisha. That is 840, 850 years before Jesus Christ. May I? A little about that period is that false deity, polytheism, false deity, false so-called God. And I'm talking the state of the world. Polytheism instead of monotheism. When we talk about monotheism, remember, theism is God. Mono, one. Poly, many. Theism, God. So the world was saturated with polytheism. A God here, a God there, a God everywhere. That's the way it was in the time of Elisha, 800 BC on. Are we all there? This was the general worldview. Every land, every nation had its God. In Phoenicia, it was Baal. In Moab, it was Chemosh. In Ammon, the Ammonites, it was Moloch. In Syria, it was Rimmon. In other words, Rimmon was their god in Syria. In Babylon, the Babylonian god was Baal. In Egypt, it was Amun-Ra. And I can go on, the different God in the different nation. That is the way it was in the then world. But in getting knowledge of and belief in the true God and the only God in Syria, the Almighty God. You know, ladies and gentlemen, God certainly worked in mysterious ways in order to perform his wonders. Because something as awesome as that type of job, you think that the Almighty God would through some of the great prophets in Israel. May I? In getting knowledge of himself and belief in him, in the land of Syria, the Almighty God used an insignificant, and I'm saying this, that is, by the world standard, an insignificant and humble slave girl to start a series of events that led to one of the most awesome, astonishing examples of faith and repentance in the entire Bible. Man whose entire life was associated with idolatry, false man neighbor, all his life, that's what Naaman knew. And for that man to have come around the way we see him come around and make confession from his own mouth about the true God, it is awesome. But it is the person whom God used to start that chain reaction that should give us, it should do two things. It should give us encouragement, but it should also bind us. It should give us encouragement in helping us to understand how God can use us if we permit him. It should bother us when we realize that so many of us are not doing anything but Christ, Christianity, and the church. Are we all here? How many Christians here are really conscious of his or her individual responsibility daily to seek out or create or look for opportunity to let a man or a woman know that he or she needs Christ? How many? God does not usually use the great of the earth to accomplish his task. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we need to take a keener look at the kind of men and women whom God used then, and the men and women God still uses now. To become his co-worker. Did I say co-worker? Yes. You know another thing in putting this lesson together? Another thing I come to realize, how that word, the word, fellow worker with God, or with Christ. What strikes me is that the text in which the word is used, it is used in direct association with evangelism, leading others to Christ. Wait, Brother Mitchell, say that again. The text which talks about that we are co-workers, our fellow workers with God, our with Christ. When you look at the context, I'm hoping today, what those candidates is used in relationship to evangelism. Jesus Christ.
But more on that as we go on. Let us hear the passage again of 1 Kings, 2 Kings, chapter 5, verse 1 through verse 3.
Now
Naaman,
captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria.
Okay.
He was
Wait, don't move, brother. By Naaman, God had given deliverance to Syria. I am fascinated again, you know. And that means when Syria fought with Israel, God's people, Syria was not God's people. So don't get any misunderstanding here. But because the earth and the fullness belong to God, it is God's right to use whatever and whomever to carry out his will and his purpose. And if you want me to say more, you have a chance when you come tonight before the lesson to question or seek clarification. That means when Syria fought with Israel, and if the Almighty God at that period or at that time want to teach Israel a lesson, chastise Israel, he would use Syria. That's right. And deliver them from Israel and slaughter. That was verse 1 and 2.
Verse 1.
Read on.
He was also a mighty man in valor.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a leper.
Okay. He had leprosy. He had a killing disease. Huh? Yes. There was no cure for leprosy.
Amen.
Because Naaman and the king of Syria and all the experts by whom they were surrounded searched out Syria to find if there was anyone who could cure Naaman. Because he was so important to the Syrian. Read now, brother.
And the Syrians had gone out by companies.
They had gone out by company.
And had brought away captive of the land of Israel.
Among the places that they fought against. Because at this time Syria was the dominant nation in the Middle East. And among the nation that they went and fought against and won was Israel, and brought a slave. Well, probably not just one, probably many. But God is about to work through this one. Read on, brother.
Out of the land of Israel, a little maid.
A little maid.
And she waited on Naaman's wife.
She waited on Naaman's wife.
And she
Wait. That, she was like a slave, you know. A trusted slave. To have been given this job. It says something. But she was a slave. It's not like they were paying her. She was being used as a thing. Read, brother.
And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.
Brothers and sisters, what are we talking about this morning? Making the difference. Let us look at her for a few minutes. One, this captive slave girl did not forget or leave her faith and her religion in Israel. That's very important. You see, brothers and sisters, it's great to be alive, but there are so many undeserved things going on in the world today.
Right.
Huh? Last night, it was about 7:30. My brother called me from Mandeville. He knows that I'm usually here at that time on a Saturday night. He called me and says, he said, "Have you watched the news since today?" I said, "No." He said, "There is another mass shooting in the U.S. I said, "The one few days ago." He said, "No, that one I'm talking happened today." And then, just when I listened to the 9 o'clock news this morning and hear them talking about the mass shooting, I thought it was the same one. Are we all here? It's a different one. This one happened. In fact, the one that happened yesterday, I was reminding Sister Mitchell that El Paso is close to Odessa, Texas, where I work and preach. That's the place where every Sunday night for 2 years I would pack up things in our car and drive 164 miles back to Abilene, where I was going back. I usually listen country western from El Paso. The one must be today is in Ohio. I mean, it's like every few days a person just take up gun and just shoot down people that you don't know they have done you anything. What type of hatred, misguided, and whatever you want, that's the world in which we live. So I was saying it's good to be alive now, but sometime I wish the days when I was growing up as a teenager would come back. That's right. In those days when you hear about one shooting, oh my God, many of you heard about, many of you probably have seen the movie Riding. I believe the star is Jimmy Cliff. That when I was a little boy, it's when those things happen. And when you have shooting or a gun man in those days, it's like judgment is coming. Now it's like when we don't have a shooting and a murder, we wonder if something is happening. That's the world in which we live. Ladies and gentlemen, read again, brother. Verse 3.
And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria."
Brother McFarlane, she was a slave in a strange land, but she had not forgotten the man of God in her country.
Amen.
And what he stood for and what God could do through him.
Amen.
People forget their religion and their belief too quick in our time. In a foreign land, she still remember the true God and His servant. Are we there?
Amen.
She took God with her when they took her captive. I am saying to us, ladies and gentlemen, let us take Jesus Christ Let us take the truth. Let us take the church with us wherever we go.
Amen.
As Joseph took the Almighty God when he went to Egypt. As Daniel took his religion and his God when he went to Babylon. And as this captive slave girl took her religion and the belief in her God to Syria when she was taken against her will to this strange land. We must take Jesus Christ, the truth, and the church to our workplace. Among our friends, among our professionals, that is, whatever profession I engage in, I must not hide what I believe whenever the opportunity presents itself or where I can create the opportunity.
Amen.
God expects no less of us. Wait. And for you and me to operate less means we stand guilty in the eyes of God.
Amen.
This young lady did not forget her religion. May I? Had she been looking? Had she been looking? She could have found excuse in her situation and her misfortune.
Brother Mitchell, say that again. Thank you for asking me. I will be saying it anyway.
If she had been looking for excuse, it was easy for her to find excuse in the situation that she found herself in and the misfortune that befall her.
You see, brothers and sisters, when you want excuse, it's never hard to find. You know what sometimes seems slippery, even though it's not, is when we need to have a reason to do the right thing. But the excuse to fail yourself and to fail God, to fail Christ, in helping to lead others to repentance and faith and whatever. Yes, we come up with excuses. Not those excuses going to stand in God's sight. But she was not looking for excuse. Her situation and her misfortune was no reason to find excuse. In the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 20, you don't have to read this. The Bible said they are without excuse. But wait now. There's another area that she could have found excuse. She could have also used Naaman's military and social status to excuse herself. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell?
He could use Naaman, military status and social status to excuse herself. How do you see that? Well, Naaman was a victor. He stands at the top of the military ladder and he stands among those at the top of the social ladder. He's a man who sees every day, and the king's life was to be in danger. She could have easily read that he has a need. You know, I remember some mighty deeds that God did to Elisha in my country, but I was in the business that master. You see, had Elisha been here, he could have paid. But since he's not here, look at me to talk to. Voila! No, sir. Look at poor me. You know, fear and negativity is contagious. Where you can not make the person an enemy, but where you can help that negative people don't influence you, work out. Because the person who's negative always sees the dark side of things, the bad side of things. Watch out for the permitting like that to influence you, because they take the right down to you. That's right. That's the fact. Remember when I started the lesson, I told you, don't ever underestimate how the Almighty God can use you to do great things. Don't underestimate yourself. Because that's one of Satan's tools. To tell you, that's not your job. But this young lady did not tell herself that. She did not say, this situation need Elisha. Not in the way that would relinquish her of her responsibility. Yes, it need Elisha, but it also needed her. Huh? She did not say, you know, this really needs Elisha's attention, but he's not here. Ladies and gentlemen, Elisha is not here, but you are here. Huh? All that God asks is that we do what we can do in the world that God gives us. That's what God asks.
Brother Michel, job that. Brother Nairi, job that. Brother Webb, job that. Brother McFarland, job that. And I'll say, job that. Are you sure it's not your job? When you spent with God last night, he told you it's not your job. I'm not here, so don't look at you. Be careful of that. Be careful of pushing off things. Wait, brothers and sisters, it's no accident that this young lady found herself in Naaman's home. Brother Michel, it's pure military accident. No, sir.
The Almighty God wanted her here. The Almighty God did not want her to leave her religion and her God in Israel. Just like God wants that you and I take Jesus Christ, the truth that you know, the church that you can read about in the Bible, wherever we go and with whomever we deal. God wants that. That's the only way we are going to reach men and women with the truth. God wanted this woman in Naaman's home. Wait, Naaman's home became the world that God placed her in. Huh? I keep pointing out that God has given each of us a world. every one of us. And you know what? You know what? The Almighty God does not expect, the Almighty God does not hold you responsible for the world that we have given. And you will not hold Brother Mitchell responsible for the world we have given. That the people that you need, that your world is in your neighborhood, in your family, the men and women you deal with, that God expects that you will have the conviction enough that will always walk with true religious strength. And you'll always be prepared. You see, always, Brother Mitchell, be prepared. Yes, the Bible tells us to be. And, yes, as I read somewhere, I was a man fooling. And who is not fooling, be ready at all times to give an answer to everyone who asks for reason and serves the faith that is in verse 15. And that is every child of God. You must be ready to the faith, but to believe and to do it in such a way that you will be winning. You don't do it in a self-righteous way to drive people away.
You know, a lot of times we are full of bitterness and hate and things that hold us back. Are you all there? Are you all here? The young lady, it was easy for her to read and say, this was not what not. And he called my country and fight and take the chance and go to the level of by God. She had a winsome personality. Are we all there? Yes. She had truth and knowledge. God wanted others to benefit from. Are we all here? It was wrong and sinful for her to keep this knowledge and truth to herself. Are we all here? You see the application?
Hardly look, Brother Mitchell, I'm looking, I don't see it. Look again. I've just said that this young woman, slave, captive, she had truth and knowledge the Almighty God wanted others to benefit from. It was sinful for her to keep it to herself, the truth and the knowledge she had. It was sinful on her part to be thinking, if Elisha had been here. Do you remember the lesson in the book of Matthew 25 and verse 24 and 25? Read it quick, brother. Matthew 25, verse 24 and 25.
Then he which had received the one talent came and said,
but wait, brother. Remember, there were others who got 5 and 10 talents of their business, eh?
Yeah.
This one received only one talent. You notice it's the one with the one talent who go and give it.
Yes.
It's whereby the reason I can't do this, I can't do that. As long as you tell yourself that, Satan will make sure you do nothing for Christ other than coming to church once a week when you feel like twice a week. And you go home and think that all your Christianity is finished. And the Almighty God should come and bow down at your knee and tell you how good you are. The man with the one talent.
Came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown. And gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is mine.
In other words, the one talent that you should trade upon that one talent. You should get some more talent on it. Wait, let me put it like this. Brothers and sisters, are you there? Every sermon you listen to, there should be some takeaway by you.
Amen.
Every class discussion, Sunday school, Wednesday night, ladies class, men's class, that will sit through and learn something, there should be some takeaway to help make you more productive for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you see, when God provides this opportunity and you just fit in and there is no takeaway, please be careful how you blame others. Read on.
His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant.
Brothers and sisters, you notice, just failing to do what we should do, we are wicked in God's sight.
Amen.
That's the sin of omission. That is the things we are to do, but omit them. We fail from doing them. We put all the emphasis on the sin of omission. Thank God I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do that. Wait, God's point is, what are you doing that is good? So this servant was called wicked. What is the point? Is that the servant here had things to trade on and get others for his or her master, but went and hid it.
Amen.
The truth must not be hidden. Amen. No man light a candle and put it under a cover. That's what a bushel is. You don't. The truth of the gospel is priceless for marriage. God did not intend that only you benefit from it. God intends that when you learn truth, you see for opportunity to share it.
Amen.
When you do not do that, God holds responsible.
Amen.
For the souls of men and women that you send in your work.
Amen.
Is it co-workers, relatives, neighbors, friends, strangers? Yes. This young lady took her religion with her. In verse 8 of the passage, quick brother.
And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he said that he sent to the king, saying,
It is striking, you know. Christian, walk with a few traps in your purse, religious traps. Read them to know what they contain so that you do not give a person the one that is not applicable to that person.
Amen.
They go to this person, they went to the king of Syria. Then the king of Syria said, lack of confidence and faith. Ah, the king of Syria was seeking war with him. He's that bad. You know? If his life that had to do that the king of Syria to be a bad man here on the throne, no, the king of Israel. Elijah said, and reminded. Because some most enlightening, challenging, interesting part of the lesson is yet to come, but that will come next week. I was hoping to make it a one-part lesson. Elijah said, watch here, to the king of Israel, remember all the messengers and people from Syria have not yet made contact with the right person. Young lady did not tell them about the king of Israel.
Amen.
She told them about the prophet of God in Israel.
Amen.
So when Elijah heard, Elijah sent message to the king of Israel, who was in mourning, because he, the king of Israel, was unable to help.
Saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes?
That's to the king of Israel. Why have you torn your outer garment? That was a sign of mourning. Yeah.
Let him.
Done that,
Let him now come to me.
Send the emissaries from Syria, including Naaman, send them to me.
And he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Amen.
That's key. That's key. God has not left himself without a witness.
Amen.
Saying, Brother Mitchell, falsehood and error are plentiful, but the truth of Jesus Christ is still available.
Amen.
There were a lot of falsehood in the time of Elisha. There were lack of man-made gods, idols, but the true God was still in existence.
Amen.
And his spokesperson. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to stop here, but don't miss the rest of the lesson. When we get here next week, we want to look on this young lady, her care, her sense of responsibility, because she no finished with her master, you know. That's right. You're not done yet. We'll be looking on her care, her sense of responsibility, her conviction, and her faith in God's method. When we come next week and pick up on this lesson, we are going to be looking at one of the most awesome demonstrations of genuine faith and repentance to be found anywhere in the entire Bible. But for this slave young lady who seems to make the difference by Jesus Christ, you can make the difference for Christ and the gospel and the truth. In fact, Jesus Christ expects no less of you and me. How have you been fearless in God's sight? Is your Christianity just attending church once or twice a week? And you gone home and your feelings self-satisfied? That's not Christianity, ladies and gentlemen. It's not. Christ has a lot of work to be done outside of the walls of this city. And where He has placed you, He has not placed me. He wants you to make a difference here in this city. Come next week as we
look on some high points in this man who has known only idol and idol worship throughout his life. And because of the initiative this young lady made, because she did not leave her religion in Israel, because she did not leave her God in Israel, Naaman went home at totally, completely different person.
That's exactly what God wanted. It was brought about when this young lady placed herself and took the initiative for God to use her. Don't underestimate how and where God can use you for His own glory. Are you here today and you're not a child of God?
We are going to encourage you now that that's where God starts using you. When you turn your life over to Him, through faith, through repentance from sin, through confession of Christ's name, and through getting baptized,
so that the blood of Jesus Christ can be applied to your sin, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, so that you come from the watery grave of baptism, so that Jesus Christ can begin to use you. We stand now as the brother lead us into a song, and as we encourage you to come forward and give your life to Jesus Christ. 242. Let us stand.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying.